Anyone who has ever read the Bible knows well that the scriptures are not always the easiest things to understand, especially in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we find names and places that we struggle to pronounce, a complicated story arc that's difficult to follow, a dense and harsh legal code, endless liturgical laws and rubrics, and perhaps one of the most challenging aspects of all the Bible, the very strange people that we encounter. Some of these characters are heavily developed, like David and like Moses, and others hardly have an introduction at all. So it's difficult for us to wrap our heads around who is who comes from where, who is married to who, and how it all fits together. The Bible is really, indeed, full of strange people. But I find that the strangest, and really the most fascinating, tend to fall into one category, the prophets. The prophets are captivating characters. They're bold, courageous, even brash in their preaching. They're utterly convinced of the truth of what they speak, and they trust entirely in the Lord. They stand before the people, before kings, and before common folk alike, and call for repentance. They don't compromise or negotiate their terms. They are stern, direct, clear, and their message is rarely, if ever, appreciated. But their message is also sometimes confusing, and it's always challenging. The prophets are the original doom and gloom pessimists about the various aspects of the world. But at the same time, they have this vibrant hope, this vibrant trust in the Lord and the Lord's plan of salvation. And they're often faced with persecution for the message that they preach. And many of their stories do end with a violent death. You know, whenever we read literature, it's natural for us to be drawn toward characters that we find some resonance with, that we can relate to. And we tend to skim over those that we don't understand. And the same is true with the Bible. I'll be honest, I feel much more comfortable preaching on Jesus or St. Paul than I do the prophet Habakkuk. We can be tempted to avoid the prophets because we don't know where to put them. They don't fit into any of our categories of experience. I've never met anyone that dresses in camel's hair, eats locusts and honey, and proclaims the kingdom of God. But you know, it's a real shame. It's a real shame that we don't know what to do with the prophets, that we don't have any experience of prophets. Because, my brothers and sisters, we are all prophets. It's part of our call, part of who we are by our baptism, is to be prophets. So these strange and mysterious figures that we encounter in the Bible, they have something to teach us, not just in the content of their preaching, what they have to say, but in who they are, how they've been called by the Lord, how they've been instructed, and how they've been sent forth to go out on mission. The prophets don't have to be distant characters to us, but they should be our guides and our examples as we live out our vocations as prophets. But what's a prophet anyway? Before we think about how we are called as prophets, maybe it's good to understand a little bit more about who these prophets are in the Old Testament, what makes them up. The Hebrew word nabi, which is translated for us as prophet, means one who is a spokesperson for another. But it also has the undertone of that person being a madman, a little crazy. G.K. Chesterton said that we live in an upside-down world, so the prophet stands on his head to see the world aright. And that explains a good amount of the strangeness that we encounter in them. But in general, the prophets are made up of three essential elements. Prophets are called by God. It's an easy point, but it's also easy to miss. The prophets didn't choose that vocation for themselves. It wasn't something that they felt that they really wanted to do. You know, typically we hear that the prophets were kind of going about their day, carrying on, and suddenly the heavens were open and the Lord spoke to them and called them to a ministry. Typically, this happens in a great and dramatic way, and because God is at the beginning of their vocation, that commands everything, because it's not about them. It's about God. It's about proclaiming His truth and His message. So they don't act on their own behalf, but on God's. Second, the prophets are given a message. Notice how their preaching always begins with the expression, "Thus says the Lord." What they have to say is not the result of their own study, their own brainstorming, but it's the message that God has given to them, that God has revealed to them. Notice how in the gospel, the people of Jesus' time in Nazareth, they struggle with trying to understand where Jesus is getting all this from, with what he preaches in the synagogue. In other words, they don't see him as a prophet, because if they saw him as a prophet, they would know the authority from where all this comes from. They know it comes from God, but they don't see him as a prophet. Their eyes are closed. Their lack of faith keeps them from seeing the truth. And it's important that the prophet's message is God's message, because that gives their message a certain authority, a certain weight. And it gives the people a reason to pay attention to what the prophets have to say, since what they have to say is God's message and not their own. And third, once the prophet has been called, once he's been given a message, he is sent out to deliver that message. And this is where things get interesting. Because the prophets aren't just like God's personal press secretaries sent to read a prepared, canned statement on behalf of the Almighty. In fact, it's actually quite the opposite. God allows the prophets to use their own words, their own concepts, their own experiences, their culture, to preach the message. In fact, God respects their freedom. He respects their culture. And he speaks through them, through all of that, to get his message across. In fact, that's actually how Catholic theologians have long understood how the entire Bible comes to be, how God speaks through the human authors who write down the texts that we have. So the prophets deliver a message that is unique and personal, but it's also totally God's. So with all of that in mind, now we can understand a little bit better how we are prophets. While our calling was a little less dramatic than the ones that we hear in the Bible, when we approached the waters of baptism, we were all called to be priests, kings, and prophets. And in the Old Testament, each of those, priests, kings, and prophets, were always anointed with oil at the beginning of their ministry. And so too, at our baptism, we were anointed with sacred chrism to mark our calling as priests, kings, and prophets. We've been called, we've been given a message, and we've been sent out to preach the good news of Jesus Christ to all people. So just as the prophets have been called by God, so are we. Christ says in the gospel, "It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you." He's called us to act in his name, to be other Christs, to be his spokespersons. He knows us, he loves us, and he calls us to follow him. We've been given a message. God speaks to us and he teaches us in so many different ways, through the readings that we hear at Mass, the prayers of the liturgy, and our personal study, and our meditations on Scripture, our personal prayer, and in the silence of our hearts. God's revealing himself to us. He's giving us a message. He's revealing himself and his loving plan to us. So we know it's not just our ideas that we preach as prophets, but it's his. And we know that this message that we receive is not just for ourselves, but it's for others. We're sent to announce the gospel of the Lord to the world just as boldly and courageously as the prophets of the Bible. But just as God worked through those prophets, through their words and experiences and culture, to bring his message to the world, so too does he work through us and through who we are as individuals to do the same. We don't have to run off and go buy a camel's tunic to be a prophet. God sends us out to be prophets to those around us in seemingly very ordinary ways, to our family, to our friends, to our coworkers, to our fellow students, whatever the case may be. Sometimes we'll have to convey a difficult truth and say things that people don't like to hear. And we don't always have to use the brash words, the really heavy rhetoric that the prophets use in the Bible, but we do have to have the same trust and reliance on the Lord. We'll sometimes face persecution, and we'll sometimes be rewarded for standing up for what is right. But all the same, we have to remember that it is the Lord who has called us, who has taught us, and who has sent us out. But maybe the idea of being a prophet. Maybe that idea seems like a little bit too high of a bar for you to reach. Maybe you're aware of a personal struggle or a limitation that's keeping you back from taking the next step. Over the past 2 weeks, you've heard Father Jim and Father Michael encourage you to consider becoming one of the 511 ministers that we need here at St. John's to move our parish forward. And maybe you felt called to one ministry or to another, but there's something that's holding you back. You don't feel worthy, you don't feel up to it, capable, whatever the case may be. Maybe you felt called to pursue a religious vocation, to be a priest, to be a brother, to be a sister, but maybe there's also something that's holding you back. Maybe you have a desire to go out and to be a prophet to the world, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to those around you, but there's something holding you back. If any of that's the case for you, then you and I are in the same boat. Because being a prophet is a difficult and a challenging task. But we can take courage in the wisdom of St. Paul. St. Paul saw that his weaknesses, his limitations, were not an obstacle, but they were the very way in which God was pouring his grace into Paul's life to enable him to live out his vocation. And if we're afraid of rejection, of our efforts failing, of us putting out all of that time and effort and whatever else to doing something and it's just falling flat on its face, then we can take great consolation in remembering that Christ, the true prophet, went to his hometown, preached to the people who should have known him best, and they rejected him. If we preach Christ's message, what he has taught us, and Christ himself was rejected, we can pretty much expect the same. But if we have the same conviction of the prophets in the Bible, to boldly proclaim the message that's been given to us, then we can be confident that through whatever personal struggles we have, whatever rejection that we face, through the midst of all of that, in a mysterious way that we can't understand, God is working his purpose out. He's painting straight with crooked lines. And he's calling people to repentance through us, through our lives, because we are prophets, my brothers and sisters. So in this Mass and this week ahead, let us pray for the grace to be courageous, to be bold, and to trust in the Lord and his plan, even when it seems difficult or impossible. Praise be Jesus Christ.